Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Honestly, I just think it's trash. You know, he had an unbelievable career, 25 seasons. He's a Hall of Famer. I saw his special on MLB Network. It was cool. And one thing that definitely stood out to me, he had zero former teammates in that interview. Not one. Talking about him. It was him talking about himself. If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that. And to me, that is, that's all you need to know. That tells the entire story right there. You know, my teammates will vouch for me. My coaches will vouch for me. He doesn't have that, so he has to vouch for himself.
It's amazing. When we first heard this at the beginning, you're sitting there going, okay, Price is going to, give in and, you know, let bygones be bygones. He had an unbelievable career, 25 seasons, Hall of Famer, saw his special, it was cool. And then he suddenly just lined them up, and he just drilled them through holes.
Here, put this blindfold on, smoke this cigarette.
It was unbelievable. I can tell you this. And who knows? Maybe we'll talk to a teammate of X. I was around. You know him well. You were with him on a team. I knew him a little bit in his first incarnation here in Boston because I was covering it around the team. Thank you very much. I never thought this was an issue. I thought he always had a real favorable connection with teammates. Where he's coming up with this, it's almost as if somebody has said something to Price, like, oh, he's got no friends, he's got no this, he's got no... I don't... Okay, and as I said, it was the first run of Eck in this town, which was rough for him at times, and the second run was obviously, you know, his career was a lot better, but... Have you ever heard this?
No. Listen,
you were
like
around
I said,
him.
I played with him. And it might have been his last year. I mean, he wasn't exactly shooting guys down that year. You know what I mean? As you'd point out, he didn't have much. You know, salad. Yeah. You know, he's tricking guys. Location, right. You know, changing speeds. But I don't think there was anybody ever had a problem with him. Maybe opposing teams? Sure. Nobody likes to get shot down. You know, it's like an opposing team. They don't like Stroman. You know, they don't like a bunch of guys that show stuff out in the field. But his teammates, if you get on him, you're like, man, I hated you because of the way you acted. But you know how that works. His teammates always liked the guy. No, the guy's been through a lot. I mean, Chad Finn, what did he say? He tweeted out again that, you know, he did not use, quotes, or didn't use former teammates in his story because he was universally loved. You know, Jerry Remy, what do you call it? Jim Rice, Buddy Bell, other guys. Tony La Russa, for Christ's sakes. You know, but he didn't use it because it's just whatever. It's quotes. So what did you do? You probably go to guys that like, hey, how'd you feel when he shot you down? So maybe you get some guys talking about they don't like that about him. But I just think it's so asinine for this guy to come out now and to start like, you know, going over the top with Eck. Again, I'll read the quotes from Chad Finn's article when they asked him about it. How this, you know, no love lost between the two. Finn asked him, and he says, I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him, never. And I don't really give a bleep one way or another. I don't really think he cares one way or the other either.
And that's it.
He wasn't like, you know, I think he's an awful human being. You know, I think he's a bad teammate. You know, I think that he's, you know, he has no sack and he can't win the postseason. It was good to see him overcome that this past year. Like, there was no, you know, attacks on him. That Eck was the one that was attacked. He's still bitter about it. I don't know, should he not be? Great, he should have apologized, or he wanted to apologize. Does that change anything of what you did to me or what you said to me? So fine, I don't want to talk to you. But he didn't trash him, and this guy goes out and starts talking about how it's everything you need to know about him because none of his teammates.
You're really trying to paint him as this fake, this fraud. Like Eckersley comes across, you guys think Eckersley is this cool guy, this honest guy, this straightforward guy, right? When you hear him on the broadcast, he's telling you like it is, telling funny stories. You guys all love him. I'm here to tell you that he's a fraud. He's been exposed. Look, not one person will vouch for this guy. Don't you think that's weird? So where you guys love this guy for being honest and direct, he's really a fraud. He's a jerk. Nobody likes him. He hates puppies and old people. Like, what's your problem? Why can't you see it? Here, I'm showing you. I can see clearly now, right? And I'm going to expose him for the real jerk that he is.
That's what he's doing.
And that, to me, so why? So with that small little quote from Eckersley in that piece by Finn, that stoked this fire of anger and resentment. This has brought up all the old wounds. This brought up all the old animosity that Price held for him all those years, those 2 years ago, almost 800 days ago. That was so powerful, and you felt so disrespected that you had to fire away unleash yes. on him.
Yeah.
Because you've been wronged. Isn't that a self-esteem issue on Price's side?
But here's the problem with this now, because everything you just said I totally agree with. So what's going to happen now is the friends of Dennis Eckersley are going to come out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to make it worse. This is what to happen now, and it's happening at the worst time, because this team is treading water down the hallway here. Okay? They're in trouble.
Maybe
real
it's
trouble.
A fire.
Right.
Maybe it brings them closer together.
Oh, there you go. But on the other hand, I think you're going to see that people are going to come out now, be supportive, ex-teammates of Eckersley.
Yeah, but you know
that's
what
people
be, Glenn.
Do.
Glenn, you know
what?
Okay,
but it gives it a shelf life. It gives us a shelf life.
Oh, yeah. Well, good to the end of the week, at least.
Good for us.
But I think it's going to be old guy versus new guy. Like, old guy versus young guy. Old guy, get off my lawn guy versus millennial guy. You guys don't get the game. You don't understand. Things are different. Right. Blah, 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 blah. It'll be that. So there'll be a line drawn in the sand. There'll be a distinct contrast between the two. Like, what are these old yahoos doing telling us how we should play the game?
Yeah, but that's going to make it worse back
Pitch
and forth.
Clock. Are you kidding me?
Because the teammates are going to have to back up
their
own guy, David Price.
Again, it brings it up, but it also puts another bullseye on him.
Yep.
So I was looking. His next start is in Baltimore on Friday. Then his next start is in Tampa Thursday, the day game.
When is it in New York?
No, it is home It's home against Tampa on the 30th.
For a while.
But I'm just saying, as far as like
cards away.
His next home start. I'm just saying it puts more pressure, more just eyes on his outing. So now let's say he goes out there and he goes, six innings, gives up three or four runs, and they lose the ball game. Guess what? Now,
yeah,
here we go again.
Right.
Here we go again. That sucks. It's just stupid for him to go over the top.
But here's what it shows me once again, and I'm not going to blame it on the whole team, but he's certainly showing lack of focus for what is going on with the team right now. Okay.
But because if he addressed the media and just said, you know what? Yeah, like he said, whatever. He's moved on. I already offered to meet with the guy. He doesn't want to meet with me. So fine. What can I do? It's over with. He should probably stop talking about it. Fine. But when you start getting the whole MLB network and none of his former teammates, and all he has to do is praise himself because none of his teammates like him for, 25 years in the big leagues? He's a Hall of Famer. And he doesn't have one friend in baseball because nobody liked him?
Big-time
shot is what it is.
Why would you do it now?
So now Eckersley, he wouldn't do this, but other people have to explain that situation. I didn't produce the show. There's a reason why. Oh, you're just making excuses for him. I know he's a jerk. Listen, he's a jerk. He's a fraud. Don't believe him. Don't get sucked into his personality and his charm. That's basically what I hear Price saying. You guys all think he's charming. You think he's witty. You think he's funny, right? He's a tough guy, right? Tells it like it is. I'm telling you, he's a jerk. You guys don't see. Look, not one of his former players was in this this little documentary.
If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview.
Really?
I will have former teammates.
Are they going to ask me?
Coaches. They can all vouch for me.
Guys, he just gave this thing life. An incident from 2 years ago. He gives it life as this team is treading water. They are a zillion miles behind the Yankees in the division. They're four games in the loss column behind the Indians, three overall for the second wild card spot. And they have the 14 most important games on their schedule beginning next week. Not a good timing. Not good timing. Let me get to the phone calls. Here's Brett in Concord, New Hampshire. Hi, Brett.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, Brett.
My whole point, I don't really care much about that whole Price Eckersley thing. My point of this call is to say that not everybody likes Eckersley. And I'm not saying I didn't like him as a player and how he did. I do not like him being on broadcasting at all.
Okay, you're entitled. All right, you're entitled to that opinion.
Yeah,
you understand you're in the minority, right? You're in the minority, right? You understand.
Well, I'm just curious. What don't you like about him on the broadcast? What kind of broadcast do you like?
People must be blind. Half the stuff he says, I should seriously write this stuff down. So if I were to call in like this, I could actually give you the actual thing.
Should have done that. Should have come
prepared. Every night he says stuff that is ridiculous. He's always talking about himself.
Like what?
I have to have that pitch. He's not pitching. We don't need his perspective.
Well, no. What are you
pitching? If he was pitching, then he would say, "I'd have to have that as a pitcher." I'd have to have that. So what does he say that's ridiculous? It's not his fault that maybe you don't understand the game.
Back-to-back funk.
What does he say that's ridiculous?
He says a lot, like, "I have to have that pitch. It's close enough as a pitcher. I have to have that pitch."
He just said that. Do you understand
Everybody
what he's
says
doing?
That.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's putting himself.
Most former players would always talk about that. As
sure.
a hitter, yeah, I want that to be a ball. I mean, what is wrong with giving that?
It sounds pompous the way he comes across and saying it. It does.
Okay, do us a
and
favor,
he
though.
He says a lot of other foolish, just little sayings that just
cheese with hair. You don't like the hairy cheese.
I'll write them down and call. I'll call and I'll start writing them down. So when
yeah,
I call,
do
in,
that.
I
can
tell you.
So you don't like being entertained. You just want a boring broadcast. Strike one.
Well, no, it's
not entertaining. Pomeranz with an earned run average of over 7.
That's a good broadcast.
So hold on real quick. Yeah.
Bogarts.
He's gone. He already's gone.
So Finn tweeted this out. And he talks about that MLB doc. That
bleep, hold on. That bleep disturber,
yeah,
Chad Finn?
Yeah.
Stirring it all
Chad
up,
Chad Finn's
man.
A liar.
So Chad
in this
Finn
case,
working?
He's not. He's actually working
is
right
he
now.
Is he working?
So he says that, you know, that MLB documentary included interviews with ex-teammates Ron Darling, Bruce Hurst, Mark McGwire, Ray Foss, and
Fossil.
Fred Lynn, among others. And it talks about then Tomasi. This is actually pretty funny because forgive me because I grew up on the West Coast. I was not following him when he played for the A's or with the Red Sox. Tomasi, I like this one. The strangest part of David Price ripping Eckersley was his contention that Eck isn't popular with former teammates. He remains, Eck remains friendly with Rick Manny, who stole his wife.
Yes, he stole his wife.
And he threw out the first pitch to Kirk Gibson, one of my heroes, who could have ruined his career.
I tell you what.
Sorry.
I tell you
can
what.
Can someone do the whole Rick Manning thing and explain that to me? Can we do
revisionist history?
Yeah, you
didn't know
history?
That one?
What is
that
about?
He and Rick Manning were best friends out in Cleveland. And he got married. So him and his wife
so
and Rick Manning,
married.
Were the three of them were like best friends. They used to go everywhere together. And as it turned out, the two of them had a little relationship. Eck still believes that part of him, that's why he got traded out of Cleveland. Because the whole storm was coming out that Rick was actually having an affair and fell in love. They fell in love with each other behind X. These are the three best friends.
Yeah.
You know, three friends that went everywhere together. They used to hang out at night. And the two of them fell in love and they married. I think they're still married.
Yeah.
And they're friendly.
And they're still friendly. And X is like, hey, you know what happened?
So when he did get traded.
There was some issues.
He got traded shortly after that.
Well, I think that's why he got traded, because they knew it was
the whole, the Kirk Gibson thing, that to me is like legendary, you know, back in my hometown. But what does this say now? What does this mean? I was actually playing a football game that day, and everybody was cheering about this whole, and I was like, wow, I must have did something well. No, it was Kirk Gibson hitting a home run. All right. When we talked about this, right? Like all these stories were going to come out, and here they come. So, and so Cora obviously knows this and was trying to protect David Price from himself. Meets with him earlier in the day. Doesn't say what they talked about. Doesn't say who called the meeting. Price obviously has his own agenda. Is not going to be stopped. No one can talk any sense into him. But he does because he holds all the cards, so he can say anything he wants. To me. He's just going to look more of a jerk and just, I guess, jealous. I think jealous is the right word I'm looking for. I think he's jealous of Eck. I think he's jealous of the love and admiration that people hold for Eckersley.
Well, that's a good point.
And Price is probably sitting there going, you guys don't see it.
Yeah.
He's not this cool guy.
Well, I'm out here pitching, throwing well, and you still like this guy.
Yeah, you like this guy.
More
he's
than
being
you like
mean
me.
To me.
Yeah, see, that's
and
a good point.
He's being mean to Porcello. He's jealous.
That may be it. David Price may be looking at it 2 years later, and he gets a wind of was it Reamer or whatever, that were tweeting stuff out off of Chad Finn's article. And he might be looking at it 2 years later, and he can't help himself because he's sitting there going, how is it that everybody is on Eckersley's side
still,
and they're not on mine? Look what I did.
I won a World Series.
Exactly. Exactly.
For you.
That may be a big
part
of it.
I should get a pass. It's like, yep. Ek gets a pass. He doesn't get a pass. Yep. Ek isn't a player. When you retired, okay, if Price would have just, I guess, I'm not going to say kept his nose clean, but at least humored the people, he would never have to buy a drink in his life. His dog would always get a bone. Always. That whole monster of a truck that he drives, free gasoline for the rest of your life.
Did have a bad week. He lost his dog this past week, too. So maybe he's a little emotional.
You know how we feel about dogs.
Yeah.
We love dogs.
Might have been a tough week. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls and your reaction at 617-779-7937. But this story is not going away. It was from 2 years ago, and it was stoked up once again today by David Price and his reaction to it. We get your reaction next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I talked to David this morning, how he feels about it, and we're going to keep it between ourselves. But at the same time, you know, if we're going to turn the page, we have to turn the page.
You talked to Ek about it?
No, I haven't. I don't see him that often. So, but I do feel that, you know, if it was 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago. It's not going to be a distraction. I really believe that. I know my clubhouse. I know how I do things in the clubhouse. So, you know, the only thing that we have to do is play baseball.
Are you going to address it with these two guys? Do you have to, or do you just move on and let it go?
I already talked to David, and I know where we stand, so that's the only thing I have to do.
All right, and then after that, that was at the 2 o'clock hour. Shortly after that, David Price addressed it himself, and he obviously turned it right back on to
Alex. Look bad.
What's that?
Does it make Alex look bad?
Say, so Alex,
it doesn't help him. Doesn't help the look. I think it puts it back.
I mean, I think you convince him, hey, just let it go. You tweet it out what you tweet it out. Just try to let it go. His media's going to be there. Just say, you know what? I feel the same way he does. I don't need to meet up with him. It's over. Whatever. It was 2 years ago.
Well, so if that was the advice.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, he didn't listen to it.
Not so great.
Just go off again. I mean, he admitted that, you know, he doesn't think it's going to be a distraction, but it's a tough time for his team. And you know, here we are.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it the number one story right now, or is this baseball game coming up tonight?
No, this is the number one story. It will be for a couple days because, as you pointed out, now all of a sudden, guess what the media is going to be doing around town?
Yep.
Okay? They probably shouldn't go to Jim Rice or Jerry Remy because, you know, they probably don't want to talk about it. They'll praise Ek a little bit, but they're not going to go on the other side and talk about David Price. I mean, David Price, right?
What, live on Nesson? Why not?
Or anyone affiliated with the Red Sox. But you're going to go outside of this organization, you know, and say, you know, what are your thoughts on this?
He gave it a shelf life, guys. He gave it more time, and they don't need this right now. They're in serious trouble.
So what do you think happens? So Price comes into Cora's office, and Price says, hey, Skip, what do you think I should do?
And I don't think that happened.
And hold on. And Cora said, you know what? If I was you, I'd double down.
All right, let's
go all in. You know what?
I'd trash him.
I'd trash him. Yeah,
as
you know
teammate,
what?
That's a human.
What
we need. I'd do that. Yeah.
I would just kill him as much as possible.
I think Lou probably got it right.
Because he needs a distraction.
No, Lou.
What Cora wants is a distraction from what's going on with his team. That's what he needs.
I think Lou had it right. And then Cora probably said, you don't need this. Just move on or whatever. Just say that, you know, they couldn't come to a conclusion. Just get rid of it. And instead, Price got more pissed off. And he's pissed off because he sees how popular Ek is. Look what he's done for the team. Look at what he did to help win a World Series ring for those other guys.
What I think was that Price told him he had to get something off his chest. And he said, listen, I want you guys to speak your mind.
Ooh.
And I'll support you. You're one of my teammates. I'm just saying. You know, like I want all my guys in this team to feel like they have a voice or whatever. And so if you feel strongly about it, you have to do it, then do what you have to do.
You know,
but
and
I'm
just,
sure now after you saw the comments, he's probably like, oh, Jesus.
And Tyler, you know, gives us this printout and he highlights it, and I'm looking at what he said. So if this is considered giving a story life, I don't know how you would avoid it. So, because we've read it a bunch of times. He says, I don't really give a crap one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or the other either. That's it.
I have no intention of seeing him, right? Ever?
I don't intend on seeing him. What is that, a disrespect card that Price feels? Is that Eck is saying, listen, see, I don't intend on seeing him. I don't want to talk to him.
Eck gave,
how is he reading into this?
Right, if Eck gave Chad Finn something like, you know, whatever. David Price is just an insecure pitcher who you know, blamed the thing on E-Rod, when I said E-Rod, because he had something to get off his chest, and he's not a man, and you know what I mean? If Eck attacked him, then I would fully expect this kind of response.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago.
But he just said, yeah, it's yeah, whatever. But I don't want to meet with him ever.
I think Price looks at it.
I don't give
it
a bleep either way, and I don't think he cares about it either.
But I think Price looks at it as an attack. He's saying it's 800 days ago.
He looks into it as an attack.
He looks at everything as an attack.
Right.
Yeah, but that's what it is.
Looks
he's very defensive.
At everything as an attack. I remember, you know, like the whole holding the cards thing is now him being more comfortable and standing in front of the media and just looking at a guy saying, yeah, what now? Now what are you going to say about me? You got nothing to say about me, huh? But before, when he was struggling, you know, with the postseason, with the Yankees, every time a reporter, even a guy like whatever, Bradford or someone, like, hey, can I talk to you a minute? Yeah, what do you want to do? We're going to talk about what? Like, he just, in his own mind, he's like, oh, where's this going to go? Let me guess, October? Oh, you going to rip me? No, I'm not going to talk. It's always it's a fight. It's a fight. He's very defensive. And even a comment like that is where it just gets him going.
I'm confused.
Do you think that this is Price's opinion of his point of view is that there was a truce? Everything had been forgotten and forgiven, and he feels that Eckersley broke the truce. He broke, hey, this is, we were in peacetime.
I moved on.
And then you go ahead and bring this up, and you broke the truce. Do you feel like that's part of it also? I just feel like there's so many layers to Price and his just childish behavior.
All right, let's get to the reaction from you. Here's Jim in Weymouth. Hello, Jim.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Jim.
Good. I want to preface this by saying this whole feud, I'm on X side, but I'm sure you guys remember this. A number of years ago, Eck was driving around, and the late, great Dick Raddatz was in studio with Rico Petrocelli.
Yes.
Oh, Eck called in and blasted Dick Raddatz, and Rico Petrocelli all but reached through the phone and grabbed Eck by the neck to tell him to come into the studio.
Right.
Yeah, so is there a side of Eck that we don't know about, that maybe he's just a confrontational guy?
Well, I think that might have been a different set of circumstances involved there, first of all, because Eck was very embarrassed about it, because we would play it at times because it was great radio. It was unbelievable, and it was all based on the fact that Raddatz did not believe that Eck should have gotten a Cy Young, right? That's what I believe it was about.
Because, Raddatz is a guy that would throw three innings and get a save.
Three innings, he'd throw five innings.
So Raddatz kind of just trashing the one-inning save guy?
Yes, that's what it was about.
And that's what got,
and it got Eck going.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, we played it an awful lot, and Eck had reached out to me and said he was embarrassed by it, and he was hoping that I would not play it. And unfortunately, when you were in radio and it's a soundbite, you play it. So I might have backed off playing it a little bit, and we still played it from time to time.
I love Rico.
So I wouldn't say he's great. Rico's unbelievable. Best. But I wouldn't say I would call
Eck. Rico would do the same thing now, by the way.
Yes, he
would. I'm not sure how old he is, but he'd fight your ass.
It doesn't make a difference.
No, he would. He'd fight your ass.
Yeah, and that's why he was so good at
old man strong.
At what he did. But I wouldn't call. Would you call Eck? I wouldn't say he was confrontational.
Come on over here. Up and around.
Well, that whole thing was confrontational.
Come on, pal. Yeah, I want you to come over here. That's what I want.
This is it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole thing was
that all we have, that short little bite of it?
Yeah, I'll dust off the reel-to-reel and see if I get a little more.
Eck will be pissed, but what the hell?
Think about it. But I'm just saying, like, you're driving in the car and they're having a conversation that this guy doesn't deserve the MVP, whatever it is, Cy Young, because he's a closer. And, oh, by the way, he's not even a real good one because he only throws one inning.
Right.
You know, I was a real closer. I threw three innings. So, I mean, you know, kind of trashing what Eck accomplished as well, right?
Well, it was a generational argument.
It got out of control. Yes. Maybe Eck went on there and said some things he shouldn't have said.
Yeah. But it was a generational debate, don't you think? It was the old man versus the young guy at the time. We'll see if we can find the whole thing, because this is a day where Eck probably won't get pissed at me. At least I won't be number one on his list, right? We'll try that. Here's James in Norwich. Hello, James.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, James?
Well, I just want to say, the whole thing started with Price on the plane. Eck didn't do anything wrong. He's just being a broadcaster. And now he brings it back up and attacks Eck. I mean, when's it going to stop? He's going to grow up, and but it just shows he's not too bright, you know?
I don't think that's his issue. I think he's a bright guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's his issue.
No, no one's going to tell him what he can and can't do and what he can and can't say.
Right.
Because, you know, he's a pampered little you-know-what.
Yep.
That his whole life was told how great he was.
Yep.
Went to Vanderbilt, was the first pick overall, was great everywhere he went, and everybody just kissed his ass everywhere.
And look at how much money they're paying him.
So nobody can tell me what I can and can't say or could do, because I've done everything I want to do my whole life, and no one's ever had a problem with it, because they just continue to kiss my ass.
Right. Wally's in Fall River. What do you got, Wally?
Yeah, what's up, guys? I mean, everybody loves that. I mean, you can say, Price has the personality of a wet mop. I mean, I don't know what it is with this guy. This team has enough issues right now with their Swiss cheese bullpen. They can't win at home. They can't, you know, they just can't beat up on bad teams. But we're lucky here in Boston, guys. You know that. We got guys that tell us straight. Act Jerry Remy, Jim Rice, Wakefield, Steve Lyons. We all love these guys. Even you guys know your baseball. You guys are straight shooters. But Price should just keep his pie holes shut. He's just opening up old wounds with Eckersley. I mean, how old is he, 63, 64?
Everything's just disemboggled on that team.
I don't know how old is that right now. He's in his 60s. Tony's in Bridgewater. What do you got, Tony?
Price is one disrespectful cockroach. You know, he pulled this crap and he threw Farrell under the bus. Now he's trying to do it with Cora. He put Cora in a bad spot. I'm sure Cora told him, hey, just chill out. Don't react to that. And he gave him the finger and he went on and said what he did. The guy is a disrespectful bastard. And I can't see, like, how can you get behind this guy? Even when he's pitching, you know, he's wearing the Red Sox uniform. And
he's a hired gun.
I can't move for this guy.
No, he's a hired gun. That's all he is. He's a hired gun. There's no emotion attached to the guy. I mean, he pitches for you. You hope he throws the ball well. If he does, you like him because he helped your team. If you don't, you think he's an ass. I mean, it's just there's no love there for that guy. He just and maybe that's part of it. Like Christian said, he sees all the love for Dennis Eckersley, and he's like, I'm the one throwing the baseball. I'm the one who won the World Series. I got a 3.16 ERA. Why do these people still defend that guy? They should be loving me. Why don't they love me?
Yeah, they should be upset at him for bringing it up again, as vague and as boring, as innocent as it was, his comments to Finn. They should be mad at him. But I do say in a weird way, now we'll see what happens. This is the perfect distraction for the Red Sox. Because with all the issues, we started the show for the first hour and a half or something like that, discussing their issues and how they were going to have to start selling, and at what point in time in July are they going to be Dunsky? Like, that's what we are talking about.
All right, so we're sitting here, and I think we looked at the Price thing, and the only thing I could argue with Price on all of this is the situation that Eck didn't want to sit down and meet with him, that Price wanted to meet. I'll give him that. Check mark on Price's side. But overall, there was no need for him to come back and attack Eck. It was just answering questions that were harmless about the story. But the media surrounding this is being pretty supportive of David Price.
Well, which media, though?
Well, I'm going to give you a couple.
Let's give you a couple.
Let's give you a couple. Let's give you a couple. The duck boat ones. Christopher Smith, Smitty on MLB. I'm with David Price on this one. It's laughable the story is still being talked about 2 years later. And here's our buddy Jared Carabas. The story is 2 years old. This is why people hate the Boston media.
Get the duck boats ready!
The Red Sox are boring this year, so let's stir up some bleep from 2017. Then he has a follow-up. There's nothing new to the story, though. It's a 2017 story being talked about in 2019, because WEEI wanted clicked, and Price took the bait.
Wait, did Jared Carabas actually say the Red Sox are boring?
I mean, yeah, let's not bury the lead, right?
Someone's not going to be allowed on the duck boat next season.
It's not the Boston media. First off, it's Chad Finn, okay? But still, it's MLB Network ran this story. Chad Finn's piece was a transcript, basically, of the MLB Network. That's how long they spent on that David Price incident. You heard it. It was Dan Shaughnessy speaking for 30 seconds at X comment. That was it. They moved on as well. Finn did an entire piece, did the exact same thing. He had that quote. We just read it. There was like four lines. Then another story. The whole the documentary was the first one.
Chad,
this was just
a
transcript. So it's not like Jesus. I just.
Well, you know what Jared's doing. He's a duck boat guy. He's got a ring. I saw the other day he got a ring. I don't know how
Price
he earned that ring.
He loves Price.
Right, got a ring, and he loves Price, and he's going to be around Price, and so he's protecting his buddy. So I wouldn't call that journalism. I don't know about you guys, but you know he does something that's popular and people follow him.
Hashtag fanboy.
Right.
This is all on David Price. Every last
bit of it. It's on us.
If you want to be the bigger person, if it's not a big deal, then just ignore it. Why do you have to hold court? You obviously have an axe to grind. You're obviously not over it. You obviously can't get past it. Because what he said was innocent at best.
Story?
There's no fangs. There's no venom to it whatsoever.
So he writes, the story is 2 years old. This is why people hate the Boston media. The Red Sox are boring this year. So let's stir up some bleep from 2017. Well, guess who stirred it up today? David Price did. The story.
When
the story was a Sunday Globe article. It could have gone away. Nobody was going to say anything about it. It was a nice little piece. There was nothing exceptional about it. There was nothing controversial about it. Who created it? Today. I'm sorry, he's wrong. It's not the Boston media that created it. It was his buddy, David Price.
But he also, Jared actually said it's because WEI wanted clicks and Price took the bait. Well, I don't know, WEI got involved. I know what's going on there, but...
The Globe.
This
was a Globe.
Alex Freeman wrote an article, and they put a headline in a tweet to get clicks. Sure.
Yeah.
This is America.
That's what he does.
They do, too.
That's what Karabas does.
What's Karabas So, I mean, it worked.
I love this. When
that's what everybody
when
does.
When we're creating the bleep storm, we're the a-holes. We're the bad guys. Oh, you know, when Chad Finn's doing it, he goes, oh, I didn't want to turn this into
a bleep
storm. Don't blame me.
And Karabas, sports radio.
And Karabas is doing the exact
same
thing.
Somehow this turned into like us creating this storm.
We created nothing, Jared. Nothing.
I think we should own it, guys.
Specifically.
Jared,
don't take the bite in that office right now, okay? I know it's mob mentality over there right now on us, but don't take the bait.
A little friendly advice from Father Lou. All right, we take a break. We're back to your phone call. 617-779-7937.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Trout's trying to jump into it, and he struck him out. And look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
Looking at the Red Sox dugout and yelling out as he skips into the dugout. 5-0, Toronto.
If he's turning around to his dugout and screaming, I can take it, you know. But when he's turning around to the opposing dugout.
That's tired.
Have you seen videos of Dennis Eckersley pitching? Have you seen the stuff that he did when he struck somebody out? Really? Like, shooting with a finger gun? Stroman's out there saying, yelling, yeah. To wake up.
That was a strange episode, you know, and I do believe Eckersley is a hypocrite when he said it, and I said it the next day on the air. Okay, because He did do all of that stuff, and it was the thing that made Eckersley great. Not only was he a tremendous pitcher, but there were theatrics involved in it. I liked the emotion of the game, so I liked it. I had no problem with Stroman. But then you've got Price complimenting the pitcher on the other team. If that was one of your teammates that he was doing to, I clearly expect that you would come out there and defend him. But it's the guy that was pitching against you.
You know what I love about that clip? Is that, so X said, made two words, right? That's it? What, it's tired?
Yes.
Okay. Jerry Remy was the guy that for about a minute went off on Stroman.
He did. Nope. I didn't realize that until I just heard this.
No, I remember hearing it day one. I'm like, wow, Remy kind of ripped into him.
If he's turning around to his dugout and screaming, I can take it, you know. But when he's turning around to the opposing dugout.
That's tired.
And he kept going. I mean, he went on for like a minute and a half on Stroman, a minute or whatever. X said two words. That's it. Like, Remy's the one to trash Stroman.
Yeah, but it worked for Price.
Oh, worked he had for his problem with that. And it worked for Stroman as well, who, by the way,
he's all over the
is
place.
Really kind of active. He's liking a lot of tweets. He's liked all the ones on the quotes, you know, of Price going off on Eckersley. I think it's trash. He liked Chris Cotello's tweet when he says, have you seen videos of Eckersley pitching? Have you ever seen the stuff he did when he struck somebody out? Really? So, yeah, Stroman's liking all this stuff as well. Look, he's pretty active.
Unbelievable. This hour being brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings.
Love Kaplansky.
Kaplansky.com.
Love
yes, Kaplansky. We do. All right, to the phone calls. Here's Heavy in traffic, apparently.
Heavy. His name is Heavy?
Oh, Henry. I'm sorry. Henry in traffic. I apologize. Yeah, Henry. Go ahead, Henry.
Hey, guys. I don't know how, Lou, I don't know how you take this. It's like the stuff that you say is 10 times worse than the stuff at Chicago.
Yeah, we got it.
Sorry.
Well, I think he tried to. We shouldn't have dropped him, though. He was kind of, you know, correct.
Well, I don't think we're best friends.
It's a technical problem when you have to drop him because you can't.
So the computer hears the S word and automatically drops
it. Callback Heavy.
Yeah, we have robots right now.
Callback
Heavy.
Now we do.
Yeah, I don't think we're best friends.
Let's go to House, and his real name is House. He's in Dorchester. Hey, House.
Ballot?
House. Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing, man?
Good, man. We're doing well.
Check this out, right? Isn't this what baseball needs? Like, I want to be honest with you. I don't really know the ramifications of what was said or the things that was going on, but I understand that David Price is very transparent. And people, if the media finds somebody is not as open as him, they don't like him. When he's open, he's open, he'll tell you he speaks his mind, now he's being vilified. But actually, this is what baseball needs to pick up the, even though the story's 2 years old, they need that to pick up and to keep interest. But my thing is, people are calling them cockroaches and this and that when, you know, he proved himself in the World Series. He did his job, he got everybody off his back, and now, because he speaks his mind, people want to call him this and that and this and that. They're only doing something for you.
I think you got to be careful when you talk about athletes speaking their mind. We should applaud them. Here's, I could speak my mind and get fired.
Okay, but...
Oh, I'm just saying, look, an athlete can speak his mind. It could be dumb. I'd like to see David Price speak his mind and say, you know, we're not very good, you know, or that type of stuff, speak his mind, but... He just took a shot at another guy.
Listen to this. Okay, here's the thing. When you guys speak your mind, you guys get in trouble. You guys get in trouble. People say this and that. But when they speak their mind, it's either good or it's bad. They can't win. They can't win either way.
No, that's not true. I will say this. The one thing you're dead on, right about, is that baseball, this has got some NBA kind of vibe to it.
House ballad.
How many times, so the next time Price is going to pitch is when?
Friday night.
In Baltimore.
And is Eck doing that game?
I don't know.
Well, did you think the ratings would be higher or lower for that game?
Higher.
You're playing against Baltimore now. They suck. You're not playing against Cleveland. You're playing against Baltimore. There's no reason for you to watch that game.
I have it much
game.
Lower.
Okay, so I would sit there and say, I would say if Major League Baseball had more, as much as you hate David Price, if they had more guys like him speaking out, speak in their mind, whether you think they're right or wrong, just being disruptive, being anti-baseball player. Because baseball players, or at least as far as I can tell, most of them, they don't say too much.
Well, I know X not on this broadcast tonight, right? I think it's been Remy. Does he go to the next trip? Does he go to Baltimore? Because then he pitches in Tampa on the day game. And now I'm guessing he's going to do an awful lot of games, accurately, in the next couple of weeks.
But do you
they're going to have him on versus the Yankees. They're going to have him on versus Tampa in his next home start. I would just, it's already assigned. I would think it's big games. You want Eckersley and Remy, the three of them in the booth, contrary to what that one guy said. They're both outstanding together. So they're going to be in there.
I'm not sure he'll address it, though. Do you think he'll address it? He's very rarely addressed this thing. He won't address
Does Remy address it tonight? Sure.
Huh?
Does Remy address it tonight as a former teammate? Again, Price is on the team. So, you know, it's a tough spot.
See, I will say it's good for baseball, and it's good to get attention. And anytime you've got stories like this, even though, you get accused of just trying to create this stuff, it's good for baseball. They need this stuff. Is it good for this team? Based on where this team is right now, this team is right on the edge.
I'm not sure
it's good for this
after
team.
After thinking about it more, I would say yes.
It's good for this team.
Yes, I would say.
So they're going to unite as a group.
No, I don't think they need to unite. I feel like
point to the press box.
Well, we're not talking about all their deficiencies. We're not talking about We're not talking about all the issues that they have. I think there's a bigger story than them scuffling. There's a bigger story about on the Red Sox other than them, their bullpen issues, how they can't win games, how they can't hold a lead, how they can't come back, or they can't come back but not enough to win. I mean, how they can't beat the good teams, and now they can't beat the average teams.
But Christian, if they go out and lose tonight,
it's
again,
all wins and losses.
And the same thing happens. We're not going to sit here tomorrow and do 4 hours talking about Eck and Price. There's only so much you can do with it. We're going to be sitting there saying, oh, my God, they're closer to the end right now. Right?
Yeah.
Especially if Cleveland and the other teams and Oakland and the other teams win.
We all will wait and see what happens here. But, you know, could there be, I don't know. You know, Christian, you've seen, especially with the Patriots, you try to invent some things. You know, where maybe this right now, it's an emotional, if they see one of their leaders, their teammates,
gossip,
dealing with this thing. And if it's sort of like, you know, I don't know, can they somehow bring themselves together? I have no idea, but you'd be amazed at what locker rooms or clubhouses can do to somehow kind of bring unity to each other and be like, oh, nobody thinks we can win. They're all talking. Now they're trashing David Price again. Yeah. You know, we believe to stick together. We need to believe in ourselves. You know, who the hell knows?
Stranger things have happened.
Then you go out and you lose to Toronto tonight, and you're like, okay.
I think Cora probably said, go all in. When they had that meeting between the two,
you think he said
Price asked for advice,
and
Cora said,
notes?
You know what, we need to shake things up a little bit.
I'm not sure that
You
happened.
Know what? What do you want me to say, Skip? You know what? You're good enough. I'm telling you, you go ahead, do whatever you need to do, but go all in.
I think you watched the alternate ending. Here's Patrick in a car, next up here on OMF. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey,
good.
I think David Price is becoming the next Kyrie Irving.
Oh, I think he was Kyrie Irving before Kyrie Irving.
Well, I think he's just as dumb as Kyrie Irving, for sure. I mean, why do you go after, you know, an icon like Eck, and it's disrupting? And I'm sure some of the guys, like you said, Lou, you don't know how they're going to react. I think a few of them are going to be a little unhappy about this. And I doubt that the coach is happy and told him to go all in. There's no way, Fourier, that he did that.
I give you a shout-out, Fourier.
I would hope that he would have tried to tell him, don't do it. But, you know, it is what it is, and he's an idiot. So,
so
good luck to him. It's going to become a disruption. I guarantee they're not going to make the playoffs. You watch.
Well, I mean, before this comment, I mean, they didn't need this to sit there and say they don't make the playoffs. But this Dan Shaughnessy just tweeted this out. Apparently, he said, I just spoke with Bruce Kornblatt, who's the senior producer of the MLB Eck documentary. He said, quote, I came away feeling ex-teammates all loved him. We got 100% cooperation from those we asked. Hearst, Fossey, Darling, McGuire, Lynn, Remy. We didn't ask many by design. This was supposed to be Eck on Eck. So, there you go.
Bruce Kornblatt, an old producer right here in Boston with us. Produced us for many years.
So to me, it just so the more information that comes out, the more you realize how just unbelievably vindictive and angry
yes.
David Price is. This yes. is all just internally. He can't let it go. So, Ryan, you played sound earlier about, and it was Eck referencing Price, how some guys throw three pitches in the amount of time that it takes David Price to throw one. Was that this year that he said that?
I believe yeah. it was. Let me double yes. check that.
Yeah, because yeah, I sit there and I go, so because what we have learned
ALCS?
Was that was that Price listens to everything, listens to the radio because he references Price. I mean, he references Eck going on the radio. Now he's been on our show a couple times since then, so I'm sure he's talking about that. And I think that he feels like that last comment by Eck was some passive aggressive dig towards him. When there was a truce and nobody was talking about it and we had all moved on, Eck decided, well, you know what? I'm going to throw a jab at him. Like, this job's easy. It's easy. Like, if I tried to speed it up, who the hell knows what would happen? Bad things would happen.
But the guy who's making those comments is the guy that would know better than any of the people that are watching the program at the time.
I just feel it's weird that Price thinks he deserves some sort of pass.
But everything
he should not, no matter what happens,
he holds the cards.
He should never be criticized ever.
You know, and again, like there's guys in that locker room. There's ex teammates of mine there that swear up and down the kid. They said that he's misunderstood.
Yep.
They said he's one of the best teammates. You love playing with him. And my response was simply, okay, I'm sure all that is true, but from where I'm standing, I don't see any of it.
You know what?
I see the complete opposite. You know, like you said, angry, confrontational, insecure,
spoiled,
whatever you want to call it. All of it. Like that's what I see. I'd like to see what they talk about. I think a lot of people would like to see that side of him, but this is what he gives us.
But I think he goes out of his way anytime he can find anything with Eckersley to take another jab at him. And maybe part of that is Eckersley's fault that 2 years ago when Price, and he claims he wanted to meet with him, Eckersley didn't want to do it. Maybe had they met, none of this stuff would happen. But the Stroman stuff, which is crazy, he's upset about. When he's talking about how slow he is out on the mound. By the way, he's the slowest guy in the league right now out
so
there in
slow.
The mound. None of this is fabricated. None of it is made up. It's all accurate stuff. It just pisses him off. If you've missed all of this stuff, if you've missed what Cora said, if you missed what David Price has said here today, we'll let you hear it again coming up right after the break. And then we'll get right back to the phone calls and get your reaction. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF. We go 30 minutes commercial free right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.